Welcome to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver here on American Family Radio. Glad to have you with us. How you doing? How you holding up? What's going on with you? More than 65 million Americans struggle as a caregiver. Are you one of them? If so, you're in the right place. If not, give it time and you will be in the right place. Because if you love somebody, you're going to be a caregiver. If you live long enough, you will need one. Those are just the facts. I didn't make it up. That's just the way it is. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. Glad to have you along with us. It's been a busy week, and I wanted to just touch base with you on something I got to do this week that, it was tangentially connected to being a caregiver. I met a gentleman years ago, and I had him on my program for a special Veterans Day program, which we just celebrated this week. I thank you, by the way. There are a lot of veterans that listen to this program. There are a lot of family members and caregivers of veterans who listen to this program. And I thank you for giving me of your time. Thank you for what you've done for our nation. Armed Service Day is for those who are in uniform. Veterans Day are for those who hung up the uniform. And Memorial Day is for those who never took off the uniform. And we do thank you. And it's not something we just ought to do once a year. We ought to do it every day. And this particular gentleman came in to talk about his father, who was severely wounded at Utah Beach. And it was Joe Bonsall of the Oak Ridge Boys. Now, if you go back and look at the Oak Ridge Boys, now he just retired a year ago. He had ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And it came on to the last several years of doing the show. He was known for kind of running all over the stage. He was kind of like the Mick Jagger of country music. But here he was in his 70s running all over the stage. But he couldn't move. His muscles wouldn't work with him. And finally, he came off the road last December. But when I met him well over a decade ago, he was you know, at the top of his game and rocking along. But he had written a book called G.I. Joe and Lily, about his mother and father. His father was severely wounded at Utah Beach, and like many soldiers who are wounded in battle, they bring some of the battlefield home with them, and they leave a part of themselves on the battlefield. And this book described that. Joe's father not only bore the severe wounds, but he coped with it with alcoholism, and then he had a debilitating stroke. And Joe's mother took care of him for his entire life. She was a really, really strong woman. And they were people of faith, great people of faith. Joe's Christian faith is remarkable. And you would know him when you see him. I mean, you go out and look at the pictures. He's the tenor of the Oak Ridge Boys. And he's written like 11 books. Well, he came off the road after his own battle with Lou Gehrig's disease, which took his life this summer, just in the summer. But he had finished this book. He'd been working on it for some time. This is his 11th book. It's called I See Myself. And he asked me if I would endorse it, which I was stunned by his deplorable lack of judgment to ask me to do that. And I laugh. But he's such a funny guy, a great kidder. And he asked me to do that. And then he wrote a blurb about each of the people he asked to write an endorsement about. You know, so I was real honored. And then there was a big special event at the Country Music Hall of Fame there in Nashville to release this book this week. And I got to go to Nashville and be a part of that. I was with our son and his family in Birmingham for a few days at the baptism of our grandson. And then I drove up to Nashville and did this thing with Joe. And in a special bonus, I was actually, while I was in Nashville, able to go out to Chris Latham's studio and get in there and finish mixing a song. And I'm going to tell you more about that in the next block. But anyway, I was at the release for Joe's book. And Joe's publisher and my publisher are the same. In fact, we share the same agent. And I introduced Joe and his agent, Kathy, to my publisher, which is Fidelis, that has done my book, A Minute for Caregivers. And they picked up this book. And then Fidelis, by the way, has two of my books coming out in 2025. So they were on hand there. And it was a great crowd. The Oaks were there. And it was just a wonderful tribute. You could see more about that. We're going to have it out on the website, and you could see more of my remarks, which were, they say were funny. And I tried to, we wanted to celebrate Joe's life. Joe is with Christ. There's no doubt about this. And we mourn his loss, but we also rejoice in knowing that he is with Christ. He served him faithfully, and he was a deeply strong Christian man. deep faith. So, and you'll love this book. This book is called I See Myself. It's reflections on his life, but not with the intent of, hey, look what I got to do. Look what I did. He's written 11 books. So he's talked about those kinds of things. This was him growing as an individual and seeing the hand of God. And there's absolute gratitude from page one to the very end. I mean, of appreciation, of knowing that God has worked in his life and done things for him and revealed himself to him in these things, and he's been able to have incredible experiences. And I would encourage you to check it out. And you'll want to give it as a gift. It's a wonderful book. Joe Bonsall, B-O-N-S-A-L-L. And it's called I See Myself, Musings and Memories of a Blessed Life. And he wrote the final bit of this as he was struggling with Lou Gehrig's disease. He saw how difficult it was for his family to care for his father, and he didn't want this for his family to care for him. But his wife Mary and I were talking at this event, and she was like, "Are you kidding me? We're going to take care of you. You be quiet." You know, and she's a lot of fun. She's got a big personality, just like Joe. And it was a very endearing time to see this. And so, if you're looking for a Christmas gift, early Christmas gift, this would be a great one to put in to a stocking or to give to somebody, particularly if they're a fan of country music. But it's more than just that. I mean, there's so much of Americana in this book, experiences he's had. He was with them for 50 years. And you know, our relationship and our friendship got started because of caregiving. And he was a real source of encouragement to me as a writer. When my book came out, Hope for the Caregiver, it was Joe signed up to endorse it and put his shoulder to the wheel and promote it. And he was very encouraging to me when I would send articles to him. Hey, I got this in Fox News, or I got this here. What do you think? And, you know, he was just so encouraging. And he's done that for so many people. And it was a privilege to be a part of that. He didn't want to and a morose funeral, and they had a very private graveside service, and he didn't want a and Mary said she didn't want this to turn into a funeral with this thing. They wanted to laugh, and so I did my part to hopefully make them laugh, and it was a good time. It was just a good time, and I got to see a lot of folks there in Nashville, and I really immensely enjoyed being with my grandchildren and seeing that. Gracie couldn't make the trip. She's not up to traveling right now, but I hope I represented, and it was a beautiful time with my grandson. Absolutely delightful children, and I enjoyed being with them immensely. I don't see them as much as I'd like, but I'm trying to hopefully change that and make it quality time. So and then we're getting Gracie through this patch. She's got a ways to go, and we'll talk again some more about that as we come closer to that, because Gracie has a hard life. There's just no question. But I also see, like Joe had such appreciation for his life and such gratitude, I see that in Gracie. And she is thankful and appreciative, and you're going to hear more about what she's done when we come back from the break. It's exceptional what she has accomplished in the midst of her challenges. So anyway, it's been a very full week. This traveling, I flew down to Birmingham and then drove up to Nashville, was in meetings throughout the day in Nashville, went to the studio that night, got up the next morning, Country Music Hall of Fame, spent all time with that, then got on a plane and came back to Montana and got in at 1 in the morning on Wednesday morning and got up and did a radio show that I do, a live show on another network. I was just, I was a little tired. I'm getting old. I'm getting too old for this, y'all. I'm not a spring chicken anymore, but I do love to do it. And it was just such a treat to be there. And the Country Music Hall of Fame was kind of cool too. So anyway, we got more to go. We got a lot of stuff to cover today. And glad that you're with us. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Inflation is hitting everyone hard right now, especially when it comes to healthcare. Over the last 10 years, healthcare costs have skyrocketed by, get this, 230%. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are still out-of-pocket expenses like deductibles and co-payments, and they really add up. But here's some good news. MediShare 65 Plus is designed to fill in those gaps and help protect you from rising healthcare costs. At only $99 per month up to age 75, you get peace of mind at a price you can afford. And MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around 30 years. It's not some big impersonal thing. It's a community of people helping each other. Business owners, pastors, retirees. People love it. MediShare 65 Plus just makes sense. To learn more, give them a call. They're great to talk to. They'll offer to pray with you each time you call, too. Call now. 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE. 833-45-BIBLE.
As the world is changing around us, the ministry of AFA is staying anchored in God. If the Lord has gifted you to be a giver, we ask that you remember AFA in your year-end giving. As a good steward, you know the tax advantages of year-end giving. There's a variety of options for giving, ranging from cash gifts to stock donation to real estate. Some of the more creative gifts have earlier tax deadlines, so why not contact a representative of the AFA Foundation today to discuss your year-end gift? They can help you set up your donation now and make it effective by the proper date. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Your support is key to our ministry in Jesus' name. Beat the rush by calling now, 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. Glad that you're with us. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. All right, now, when you go out to the website, and I'd love for you to go, you could sign up for our e-letter, and I would very much like for you to do that, and let me tell you why. We've got a lot of things that we're offering right now. I've got a blog post that I put out with the e-letter. We share a patient that we're treating. I want you to see that patient, and I want you to pray for them and consider helping us sponsor more patients. And then I've got a blog post that Gracie's doing, and I've been helping her with this, get this out, because I asked her. She wrote her book back in 2010. It came out, and it's a fabulous book. She hasn't written anything since then. That's, you know, it's been almost 15 years. And I asked her, I said, would you be interested in writing something else? And it's hard for her to write right now, and she can't type very well. She's got a messed up thing on her hand, and it's hard for her to sit for long periods of time. I said, well, you can just tell me what you want to say, and you can dictate to me. I'll transcribe it. And so she said she would very much like to write short little things on dealing with chronic pain. Now, she's been dealing with pain for 41 years. In fact, this Monday is the 41st anniversary of her car accident, November 18th. 41 years. She's been hurt for 41 years. It's beyond the pale, isn't it? And she's been writing this. She's got a couple of them in there already at the blog post. And we send those to you in our e-letters so that you can read them and share them with other people. And I would recommend doing so. A lot of people live with pain. And it's not that we want them to minimize theirs next to Gracie's. It's what we want people to say, okay, you know what? Here's what Gracie has learned that sustained her. Maybe I'm willing to take a chance that it can sustain me, you know? That's the whole point of it. It's not so we can trump one another with our various maladies and distresses, but that we can build one another up and say, look, God's been faithful to me through this. Oh, God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. You know I love this hymn. I quote it all the time. Our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. And that's what she's doing, and you're going to love this. And then we have several things that we're adding onto it, and one of those, we usually put a song or something. Well, I've got a new song. I've got a new song out, and I'm going to probably play it at the end of this episode. So stay tuned for that. Let me just give you one of the posts that Gracie's done. They're very short posts, but I think you'll like it. This is on our blog, peterrosenberger.com. Just go to the blog. And here's what she said. It's hard to make people understand what I deal with every day. Just because I'm not screaming or crying doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It just means that I've had a lot of practice keeping it together. Do you have a lot of practice keeping it together with your pain? I bet you do. I bet a lot of you do. And Gracie's saying, look, I can't scream and cry all the time. I've got to live life. And she said, my pain is constant. It's like a background noise that never stops. But since you can't see it, it's easy for people to forget or misunderstand how much it affects everything I do. I'm not looking for sympathy or a free pass, but I do need people to know that this isn't something I can just push through or get over. It's there when I wake up. It's there when I go to bed every single day. In fact, one time I remember her telling me, she said, I dreamed, and in my dream, I was in pain. And I thought, oh, bless your heart. And I groaned for her. She said, when people don't understand the pain, they make assumptions. They think I'm fine, so they expect more than I can give. They want me to do things I can't, and they wonder why I'm not more engaged. In medical settings, if I don't communicate my pain well, I don't get the help I need. It's frustrating when others downplay what I'm going through because it doesn't match what they see. And that's been a recurring theme of Gracie's life because she is such a big personality and she's so vivacious and she lives life so out on the edge that people don't realize how much torment she's in. And I bet you a lot of you were that same way, that you just accept this is it, but you got to live life. And some of you are crying on the inside, but you're living on the outside and people don't see it. They can't grab a hold of it. I've learned to put on a brave face, Gracie says. It's automatic, but that doesn't mean I'm okay. It just means I'm trying to survive. It's easier to smile and say I'm fine than to go through the long explanation of what's really happening. I don't want to overwhelm people, but pretending everything is okay all the time is exhausting, and it creates a distance between me and the people that I love. Pain changes everything. It makes you withdraw because it's hard to engage when you're hurting. I don't want to be a burden or the sick one all the time, but it's also hard to be present when my body is screaming. It affects my relationship with Peter, my family, my friends. They want to help, but there's only so much they can do, and when I'm trying to shield them from the worst of it, they sometimes feel shut out. And I've always admired that about Gracie, is that she's not trying to shield herself from other people per se, but she's trying to shield other people from the intense pain that she feels. In order to be in a relationship with Gracie, to get close to Gracie means you're going to get close to her pain. You get close to her pain and you're going to hurt. There's no way around it. It just is what it is. Being in a relationship with somebody in nonstop pain has significant dynamics that go on that require a lot of adjustment, mental, physical, spiritual. Think about this. Let me interrupt Gracie's thought here for a minute, but think about this. Imagine walking on hot gravel, barefoot, while carrying a 50-pound sack of dry concrete on your shoulder. How easy is it for you to have a conversation with somebody? You know, you're going to be short. You're going to be curt. You're going to be not necessarily intentionally, but it's just you're on hot gravel, barefoot, while carrying a large weight. And it's very uncomfortable. And you want to be gracious, but it takes an enormous amount of energy to do both. And so, therefore, because of that energy level that's just being consumed all the time, the person in pain will withdraw just so they don't have to get into the drama of dealing with this kind of reality. So that's what Gracie is saying here. And she says, she goes on to say, when people don't get it, it's easy to feel alone. Pain is already isolating, but when others don't understand or acknowledge it, the loneliness is even worse. I've had to learn to be more direct about what I'm feeling and what I need, even if it's uncomfortable. It's better to be honest than to suffer in silence and feel resentful. How many of you all are suffering in silence and feeling resentful? I imagine there's quite a few of us here today, aren't we? People need to understand, Gracie says, not just to be kind, but so that they can really support me. If they don't know what's going on, they can't help, and I can't carry this alone. Pain is heavy enough without the weight of being misunderstood or dismissed on top of it. While it is important to communicate with those around us, the most crucial person to share our pain with is Christ. He understands in ways no one else can, even when words fail. Bringing our pain to Him is not just a comfort, but a necessity, because He sees and knows every struggle, even the ones we can't put into words. And she closes this with Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." And this is one of her posts that she has at the blog. And we're having that at peterrosenberger.com. I believe it's going to be at standingwithhope.com. Just putting it in all those places. And if you want to go out and read more from her on that, they're short ones. She's not going to write long missives, I promise you. She's not going to do it. She doesn't want to do it. And she understands that the people she's wanting to talk to about this issue are feeling the same way. So take a moment. It's free. Go out there and take a look at it if you want to read it. And I think it would be helpful. And if you know somebody that's in pain, but by signing up for our e-letter, we send these out once a month. And she's going to do a series over this. I don't know how long it's going to go. I told her, I said, well, whatever you want to say. And she's had a lot of time to think about this. And Gracie's not a flowery person when it comes to this sort of thing. I've always admired that about her, because sometimes people tend to dress it all up in metaphors and poetry and all that kind of stuff. And she gets right down to brass tacks. I mean, Gracie is about as blunt as a freight train. But she doesn't have the bandwidth to be anything other than that. It takes everything she has to deal with life today. And I admire her for being willing to put it out there and talk about this, because I know so many are struggling with this. And if this is where you are, then she's doing this for you. And she's absolutely right. We cannot bear this alone. And by talking about it, it takes away a little bit of the discomfort of feeling so isolated. It's hard enough to deal with this, but don't deal with it in isolation. Please don't do that. That's not healthy, and that's not going to help anybody. And don't compare your pain to Gracie. Gracie is very firm about this. Most of you all probably have not been in the kind of pain she's been in for 41 years. But that doesn't mean that your pain is not important. That doesn't mean that what you're dealing with is not heavy and stabbing and heartbreaking and crushing. The most pain you've ever felt is the most pain you've ever felt. The purpose of connecting with somebody who has journeyed through this is not to minimize yours, but to greater appreciate God's grace that has helped them endure. His strength. Wow. God is faithful in Gracie's situation. Gracie found God to be merciful and gracious in her situation. I'm willing to take a chance and step out on faith and believe that He cares about mine too. You know, that's the mentality of this. That's the purpose of this. But it takes sometimes somebody who's been doing this for a lifetime to be able to wrestle with these very challenging concepts and then take it to Scripture. And ultimately, that's where she draws her strength. So I hope you'll take advantage of this and go out. And she's going to do more. You'll like the one that she does for November. It talks about her long, arduous road of surgeries. And if you go out to the website and sign up for our e-letter, you'll get that delivered right to your email box, and you can read it there. And again, they're short blog posts that she does. I just read it in her voice. She cuts right to the chase, and I think you'll be real pleased with this. Comforting one another with the same comfort that we ourselves have received from the God of all comfort. That's the whole point of everything we're doing here. And we're commanded to do that in Scripture. The comfort we have had through this whole journey, Gracie and me both, is that Christ preserves us. And that is, for me, that is my hope for the caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. We'll be right back.
You can't sit this election out. I know a lot of Christians do. This is true that God is sovereign. I tell you that all the time. But they fancy that somehow that is separate from their personal responsibility. We are His hands and feet. And so that's why we have to do what's right. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and just doesn't do it, to him it is sin.
Sandy Rios 24/7 with your host, Sandy Rios. Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Do you know that the average American watches television in 2 weeks, 70 hours? So that in the time that the average American watches television in 2 weeks, you could read through the whole Bible from cover to cover.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for How Can One Book Change My Life on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes. Stand by for news and commentary next. A Christmas controversy brewing across the Big Pond. The Wherewell Primary School in Andover, that's in the UK, banned all references to Christmas in the upcoming Christmas festival, holiday festival. Parents received a letter informing them the children would not be allowed to mention Christmas in the upcoming pantomime presentation of Jack and the Beanstalk. The school told parents they had to ban all references to the Christian holiday so they could be inclusive of other faiths. Now, the show is presented by a traveling group of thespians who say they typically include a Christmas song around the Yuletide season, but the theater company says school leaders said, absolutely not. Don't mention baby Jesus or Santa Claus. You know, some might call it a war on Christmas, but it's really a war on culture and traditions. And it seems to me if you can't celebrate the reason for the season, then what's the point? It's just another day. I'm Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver, bringing you four decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. It's very important that we understand how critical our health, our strength is to this journey. I've often said, as caregivers, we're one sprained ankle away from this thing getting really weird. How is your health? Are you doing okay? How's your emotional health, your physical health, your fiscal health? All of those things are important for us to take inventory on and do. I have a Substack page, caregiver.substack.com. Caregiver.substack.com. Now, why do I put that out there? Well, it's easier sometimes there than putting out a blog, and also I can do different kinds of medium. There are some things I do for free. There are some things that are behind a paywall. I can do music, video, all kinds of stuff I have out there, and you're welcome to subscribe to it. I'd love for you to do so. There's a free subscription you can do, and every Monday I put out an excerpt from my book, A Minute for Caregivers, when every day feels like Monday. Free. You could go out and see all of those right now. And I've got quite a library out there. And then I have other interviews and so forth that I'll put that I'd love for you to take advantage of. You could see all that out there. But I wanted to share this one in particular from the book. It's called, this chapter is called Putting Treasure into a Broken Machine. And I thought this would resonate with many of you all. Years ago, I attended a weekly support group, and there was a soda machine in the room, and it was just sitting off to the side. And I would often get a soda and enjoy the meeting. Now, I don't drink sodas anymore, by the way, but this was a long time ago. And all went swimmingly until one evening the device failed to dispense the beverage. Well, disappointed, I called the service number and then joined the meeting because they left, you know, you call the service number, call here, and, you know, nobody will answer, but it'll go to a voicemail, whatever. Nobody ever did anything, but I did it anyway. I did my duty, and I never heard from the machine's owner, and I tried again the following week. And to my surprise, two soda cans rolled out. And so I gave one to a friend and accepted that I broke even. All right, so no harm, no foul at this point. A week later, I again put coins into the slot, but nothing happened. Exasperated, I fussed and even shook the machine, but to no avail. And I say fussed, I put that in quotes. The following week, I tried once more, but the machine prevailed. The next time, I quit putting money into the machine and brought a water bottle instead. Those with impairments in our lives that we are charged with as caregivers to look after, they can't act as they used to or desired. No, won't, can't. Sometimes they won't, but we're just going to deal with can't at this point. And expecting them to do so sets us up for disappointments and resentments. Coercing, yelling, or swearing remains futile. Yet, just like me putting coins into a broken machine, we continue placing our treasure, which is our self-worth, our hearts, into these broken vessels, expecting them to do something that they can't do. Maybe they should do. Maybe they wanted to at one point, but they can't do it. The machine just would not work when I put coins in it. It was supposed to, but it didn't. Accepting the impairment and making a healthier choice for ourselves is the better path towards peace and contentment. Do you accept it? Do you accept your loved one's impairment and recognize that you can make a healthier choice for yourself no matter what they're doing? Think about it. I was just putting money into this thing, getting more and more frustrated, getting nothing in return. So I stopped utilizing this machine. I stopped doing that, accepted that it was what it was, and I made a healthier choice to bring water instead. Which, by the way, I don't drink sodas anymore, so that's good for me. A lot of times we as caregivers have expectations. Do you have expectations of your loved one? Do you have expectations that they're going to respond in a certain way? I remember one time I was at a conference and I took questions at the end. It was a big conference, about like 900 people there. And this guy stood up and he asked a question. He said, "What if the person we're caring for doesn't show gratitude for us? You know, for all the things that we do." And I asked him, "Is that why he's doing it? You know, I mean, is this why we do it? So that they will thank us? So they show us gratitude? So that we're affirmed in it? Or are we doing it because it's a reflection of who we are? Or who we aspire to be?" Sometimes they can and do show gratitude. Sometimes they can't. Are we going to lessen the service? My wife is extremely appreciative of me, and she lets me know that. But there are times when she can't. There are times when she's in such pain and she's dealing with such heartache and she doesn't have the wherewithal at that point. But things still need to be done, and I do them because I know her, and I know that if she could, she would show appreciation. My brother and sister-in-law have a daughter who's 36. She has cerebral palsy and severe cognitive and physical disabilities. She's about like an 18-month-old. She has no clue on what her parents do on her behalf. She didn't ask to be born. She didn't ask them to do anything. She doesn't know. They just take care of her because she's their daughter. In fact, he's got a blog series that I'm going to put out there here shortly. I'll try to do that. He's been writing about this, things that they've learned over their journey. You got two guys in the same family with now, you know, almost 80 years of caregiving experience. And it's been quite a journey for both of us. But Kelsey can't say thank you. She can't respond in a way that they would want her to. So they don't ask her to do what she cannot do. They don't demand or resent her to do what she cannot do. There's an old quote, I don't know who is anonymous. "Sometimes expectations can be embryonic resentments." I resented that soda machine. I resented the owner for not taking care of his property. And do you know how much it affected the soda machine and the owner? Nothing. Didn't do anything. They didn't know. They didn't care. And if he loses money off of it, well, that's his problem, not mine. But why would I get myself all torqued up on resentment? How many of us struggle with this? We're putting our treasure into something that cannot respond back to us in a way that we wish they would. No relationship escapes this, even if there's not a chronic impairment. I mean, how many times have you done something for your spouse and they didn't even notice it? Are you just going to spend the rest of your life in resentment about it? I mean, you husbands, how many times you've done something for your wife and she didn't even pay attention? And vice versa, you wives, how many times you've done something for your husband? That's just marriage. And we're always going to have moments like this because we live in a broken, fallen world and we're sinful people. And we're going to be, you know, ignorant at best and callous at worst over things that people do for us. And when we have the opportunity, we make amends for it. But what if they can't make amends? What are we going to do? Are we going to just sit around and just stew on it? And I am convinced that this is one of the core issues that we as caregivers deal with, is resentment. And it starts with expectations. And we start stewing on this, and we ponder on it, we muse on it, we fume on it. And then we start to curl our fist up. I don't want to do that. I've done that. That's not a good path. Y'all have heard me say this many times on this program. I'm not a there kind of guy. I'm a don't go down there. That's a bad place. You know, one day, our goal is, we can't guarantee it'll happen, but we one day hope that we will be the one standing at a grave, because we don't want them to live without us. Gracie's life becomes immeasurably harder if I'm not here and functioning in a healthy manner. And so I try to live my life in a way that reflects that goal. I cannot guarantee that, but I'm going to try my hardest to do that. But what good is it if we do outlive our loved one and we push ourselves to be able to do that and we see them all the way to the cemetery, but we're standing there at the grave with clenched fist, filled with resentment, bitterness, disappointment? What have we done at that point? What kind of life is that? How do we answer to God for that? Here's how I spent my days. I know you said, you know, give thanks in all things, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I know you said that, Lord, but here's what I chose to do instead. I chose to be bitter. I chose to be resentful. I chose to hold a grudge. I chose to keep putting my treasure into something that couldn't give back. But the scripture says where your treasure is, there's your heart also. Well, why not put our treasure in Christ? That's why I love Gary Chapman's song. There's a treasure at the end of this narrow road I'm traveling. It gives me a reason to live. My reason for living is not the appreciation of Gracie or anyone else. My reason for living is because Christ reached into my hopeless estate and redeemed me and set me on a path to worship and glorify Him, because that is my primary design. What is the chief end of man? The Shorter Catechism says, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. How do I enjoy God if I'm filled with resentment? Can I enjoy Him as a caregiver? And I'm here to tell you that my 4 decades of experience in this says, yes, I can. And yes, I do. And that is why I have hope for the caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. PeterRosenberger.com. We'll be right back. I'll never forget walking into the hospital room after Gracie had her second amputation. Both legs are gone now. And she looked at me. She said, I know what I'm going to do. And I was kind of startled. I said, well, what are you going to do? She said, I'm going to help provide prosthetic limbs to my fellow amputees and tell them about Jesus. And I said, well, baby, can we get out of the hospital first? But she never let it go. And for almost 20 years, we've been working out of Ghana, West Africa. We treat patients all over there from other countries that come there. We send supplies. We send teams. We sponsor patients. We work with a prison where inmates volunteer to disassemble used prosthetic limbs so we can recycle the parts. All of this because Gracie trusted God with her heartache. We've got a huge shipment of supplies that is being loaded up right now to go out soon. Would you help us do it? StandingWithHope.com/giving. StandingWithHope.com/giving. There's prosthetic feet, knees, pylons, sleeves, adapters, all kinds of connectors. All of these things we are sending over there so that people can walk. We're going to point them to Christ. Help us out. StandingWithHope.com/giving. While in the emergency room with my wife, as she was struggling with the COVID-19 virus herself, and I looked at her, I said, are you scared? And she said, a little bit, but I've been through worse.
The Certainty of Mankind's History with Uncertainty, an article by Peter Rosenberger.
And then, as her fever was approaching almost 103, she started singing In Christ Alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. And that's how she has anchored herself in the certainty of Christ through her huge medical journey that has included 80 surgeries, both of her legs amputated, 100 doctors have treated her, 12 hospitals, and now the COVID-19 virus. And so when we live with those kinds of uncertainties, anchoring ourselves in Christ alone, that's the only place we can run to where there is certainty.
To read this article and more, visit afa.net/the stand.
Where there's a treasure at the end of this narrow road I'm traveling, and it gives me a purpose for my life. Jesus is my treasure.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger, and this is the program for you as a family caregiver, and that is Gary Chapman singing one of my all-time favorite songs, Treasure. I have loved that song for over 40 years, and I remember the first time I heard him sing it. It was live at the Township Auditorium in Columbia, South Carolina. Amy was on tour, and that's when, of course, when he and Amy were still married, and he came out and did this song, and I was sitting, I didn't know them at the time. I had met Amy before, and I didn't know them very well at all. But I got pretty good seats, and I went backstage, and it was just one of those moments, indelible in my mind. I love that song, and it says so succinctly what has become the core message of my life. It reminds me when I, get weary and heavy laden and all that, just remember that Jesus is my treasure, the reason I'm living. I love it, and I love Gary's voice. I've always thought he's had one of the richest, most, there's a lot of character to his voice, and you get that with certain artists where they are so distinctive in how they sound, and Russ Taff is one of those in Christian music, and I just love his voice. I was texting him this week, and I sent him the advanced copy of Gracie's song that she's just released, and told him that we're working on his next. He wrote a song for her, and it's going to knock your socks off. It's a wonderful song, and it fits her perfectly. She inspired him to write it. He wrote it for her. And I remember the last time she was in the hospital, my friend Steven was there with us, and he had his guitar, and he was playing it. Gracie was in the hospital bed. She was post-op, and she was working on it and singing it. And Johnny Erickson Tata was FaceTiming with us, and both Johnny and Gracie were just, bobbing their head with it. They just both love this song. And so I've got the tracks are being worked on right now. Gracie is starting to sing a little bit more. And the plan is that we're going to release a new song of Gracie's about every 4 months. We've got a little bit of a hurdle with going back into the hospital in January. But this new song that we have today, and I am going to play this for you today, it came to her from a friend of ours, and she's been wanting to push out a little bit and do some different things that she's done over the years. And this, we did the track with it. She did a vocal with it. It was pretty good. This was a couple of years ago, actually. It was pretty good, but it wasn't good enough. And she didn't like the guitar player that was playing along with it. He was not, she was in the studio with him, but he was just not getting into the pocket, and it frustrated Gracie. And I had to go run some errands, and I couldn't be there to kind of interpret for it, because she doesn't want to get over there and slap somebody around. Now, she'll do it to me, but the guy just didn't have it. And so we got another guitar player to do the track. This guy is a wonderful guitar player from Nashville. His name is Jason Roller, and he is he's touring with Alabama. He's playing lead guitar with them, and he's also an amazing fiddle player, and he plays on this. And we got this, and then my friend Danny Crawford helped with the orchestration. He lives down in South Carolina. And then I was able to get all this mixed with Chris. And then Gracie, we got the track finished. We used her scratch vocal for that. And then she redid the vocal once the track was finished. She did it in our bedroom the other day. I brought mics in there to her so that she could sing there. And she had her legs on and she was standing, but it was really uncomfortable for her. She struggles with that a little bit. And because she's, until she has the surgery in January, she's still kind of bent over and she's in a lot of pain with it. So she took her legs off and she's kneeling on her wheelchair. Okay. Which always makes me nervous, but she's, you know, she's been doing this since 95, since she became a double amputee. So as the surgeon's PA in Denver that we go to for her back stuff, I just love them to pieces. That's a great group down there. And she's talking about Gracie, the way she transfers when she's not wearing her legs. So she's rather ballistic. And I said, on every level, she's ballistic. But so she was on her knees in her wheelchair in front of the microphone. I got a picture of it, and the mountains are in the background. And one of the things we're going to do is we're building this new addition that's going to be a better bedroom for her. And then I'm going to take the bedroom we're in now and turn that into my studio, and I'm going to have it all set up so she can come in and record more, make it a little bit easier for her to do that. And I'm looking forward to having that done. But she just delivered this amazing vocal. And I went down to Nashville. I sent it all to Chris, and he mixed it one time and had some changes, and then it worked out for me to be there with him in the studio till late Monday night, and we got this finished. And I don't think we could have done it had I not been there, because there were a lot of nuances I wanted to pull out and do, and the mixing process is a lot of fun. It's a very creative process for me. I enjoy it. And you know how I talk about on this program so much, the importance of us doing things that kind of give oxygen to our soul. And that's one of those things that does that for me. And I have such great memories of being out at Chris's studio and working on all kinds of music and projects. And it's just a lot of fun. And it's an expensive hobby, but hopefully it's more than just a little bit of a hobby. This is part of who Gracie and I are. We do music, and we love to do music. This song, you're going to love the text for it. You're going to love what she says. It's Thanksgiving month, and the song is called Thankful. And Monday is the anniversary of Gracie's wreck, November 18th. It'll be 41 years. And I never let that day go by without, you know, stopping for a moment and thinking about the reality of her life. For 41 years, she's been hurt. She's not known a day without pain since then. 86 surgeries, all the things she's gone through, all the difficulties. And yet she sings this song and talks about her gratitude for life. And so because of you guys, I appreciate very much you being a part of this audience, and I wanted to do this song for you. If you want to get this song, you have to go out to our website to download it, but I'm going to play it for you over the air today. But you can go out to peterrosenberger.com and download it from, or any streaming service. It's out there on all the streaming services. Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Music, all of that. It's available out there. Here's Gracie singing Thankful.
I see bluebirds and gray skies. I see sunrise from sunset. I watch comets flying by. I feel a touch of paradise. I feel my father holding me. I sense my spirit learn to breathe. I see into my mother's eyes. I know it's almost paradise. I say, oh my, oh my, it's almost paradise. I say, oh my, oh my. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the light. Thank you for the moonshine. Thank you for the pain in the night. Thank you for the big climb. Thank you for the warmth. Thank you for my life. I'm thankful for it all. I run through fields of majesty. I go in and out of reality. I run back to my enemy. I dive deep down inside of me. I hear whispering in the trees. I hear their ancient melodies. They share their memories. They sing, we are our family. And I sing, oh my, it's almost paradise. I sing, oh my, oh my. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the light. Thank you for the moonshine. Thank you for the pain in the night. Thank you for the big light. For the light, thank you for the moonshine, thank you for the pain in the night, thank you for the big climb, not softening the fall, thank you for my life, thank you for the laughter, yeah, thank you for the chance, thank you for the madness. Thank you for the dance. Thank you for forgiveness, not softening the fall. Thank you for your love. I'm thankful for it all. I'm thankful for your love. I'm thankful for it all.